Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Okay, so OpenAI did something this week that a lot of people have been waiting for. They launched a mid-tier plan, 100 quid a month, ChatGPT Pro. Now, I know what you're thinking. Another subscription tier. Thrilling. But here's the thing. The jump from £20 to £200 left this massive gap. And that gap is exactly where most freelancers and small teams actually live. The people who need more than hobbyist access but don't have enterprise budgets. So this isn't just about pricing. It's about who gets to build with these tools. Because pricing tiers shape adoption patterns, they decide who's in the room. And for months, if you needed consistent access to the bigger models, you either stretched to 200 a month or you got rate limited at 20. Now there's a middle ground, and that matters for one simple reason. More people building means more experiments. More experiments means we find out faster what actually works. The takeaway? OpenAI just widened the gate. If you've been holding off because 200 felt steep, worth another look. Right, so completely different corner of the tech world now. And this is a featured insight from quantum computing. John Preskill's team at Caltech published something that genuinely surprised me. They've cracked what's been the hardest problem in quantum AI, how to load classical data into quantum systems efficiently. Now, that sounds abstract. So let me ground it. Most data in the world comes from classical systems, reviews, logs, sensor readings, the stuff we actually care about. Quantum computers need to process that data in superposition. That's where the advantage comes from. But getting classical data into quantum states has been the blocker. It's been eating up so much memory that the advantage disappeared. Their solution is called quantum oracle sketching, and the math works. They prove exponential memory advantage with as few as 60 logical qubits on real datasets, movie reviews, genomic data, actual problems. They tested it on sentiment analysis and dimensionality reduction. 4 to 6 orders of magnitude memory savings compared to classical approaches. 4 to 6 orders of magnitude. Think about that for a second. For something like CERN's data pipeline, they generate petabytes per hour, but they can only keep one event in 100,000. The rest gets thrown away because there's no capacity to process it. This changes the economic model of science. What this really means is that quantum advantage just moved from theoretical to testable. We're not talking about someday anymore. We're talking about systems we could build today with hardware that exists. Have a think about where that leaves the AI companies betting everything on classical compute. Okay, so bringing this back to earth a bit, and this is a featured insight from web development. If you're learning DevOps in 2026, there's a common mistake, and one dev just shared a roadmap that cuts straight through it. The mistake is jumping into tools before understanding systems, Kubernetes tutorials, CI/CD pipelines, all the shiny stuff. But if you don't understand Linux fundamentals, networking, how processes actually work, you're just copy-pasting commands you don't understand. The roadmap they shared is 3 months. Foundation first, 3 weeks on Linux and networking, then Docker, then Kubernetes, then CI/CD, in that order. And here's the bit that really matters. Real project work at every stage, not just watching tutorials, building something, breaking it, fixing it. Because DevOps isn't about knowing tools, it's about understanding how systems fail and how to prevent that. Bottom line, if you're learning this stuff, slow down, build the foundation properly. The tools will make sense once you understand what they're solving for. Something to think about if you're mentoring juniors or hiring. Right, let's talk about something a bit more contentious. OpenAI testified in favor of an Illinois bill this week. And the bill does something, well, interesting. It would shield AI companies from liability, even in cases of critical harm. Now, to be fair, there's nuance here. The argument is that AI companies can't be held responsible for every possible misuse of their tools, same way a car manufacturer isn't liable if someone uses a car to commit a crime. But here's where it gets uncomfortable. We're not talking about misuse. We're talking about harm caused by the system itself. Bias in hiring decisions, medical advice that's wrong, automated systems that deny benefits. And the question is then, if the company that built the system isn't accountable, who is? This isn't abstract. Real people are already being affected by automated decisions they can't appeal. The takeaway? We're still figuring out the rules. And right now, the companies building the systems are writing those rules. Worth keeping an eye on. Okay, so this next one is proper nerdy, but I love it. Researchers implemented quantum electrodynamics in 2D on a Quantinuum quantum computer. 51 qubits. They observed string-breaking dynamics and electron-positron pair creation. Now, if you're not a physicist, that probably sounds like gibberish. So here's why it matters. This is the largest quantum simulation of high-energy physics ever reported. They're testing theories about how the universe works at the smallest scales, and they're doing it on a quantum computer, not a particle accelerator, not CERN's massive tunnel under Switzerland, a computer. That's a different game entirely. Because if you can simulate particle physics on quantum hardware, you can test theories without building billion-pound facilities. You can explore scenarios that are too dangerous or expensive to recreate physically. What this really means is that quantum computers are starting to do the job they were designed for. Not replacing classical computers, simulating things classical computers can't. Pretty wild. Right. One more before we wrap. Cloudflare previewed something called MDASH this week. It's a CMS, a content management system, and they're positioning it as a WordPress successor. Now, WordPress powers something like 40% of the web, so calling yourself a successor is a bold move. But here's what stood out to me. MDASH is built on TypeScript, it's serverless, it's AI native, and it's got migration paths from WordPress. That last bit is the key. Because most CMSs fail not because they're bad, but because migration is too painful. If you've got 10 years of content in WordPress, moving is a nightmare. Cloudflare is tackling that directly. And the AI native bit, that's where this gets interesting. Because content management isn't just about storing posts anymore, it's about generating variations, optimizing for search, adapting to context. If MDASH can make that seamless and make migration painless, they might actually have something. The takeaway? WordPress has been the default for so long that we've stopped questioning it. MDASH is the first serious challenger in years, worth watching. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The barrier keeps dropping. Mid-tier pricing makes tools accessible. Quantum systems are proving real advantages on real data, and the platforms we've relied on for years are finally getting challenged. What ties all of this together is momentum, not hype, actual progress, systems that work, problems being solved, something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.